In Tes Shin, Sif Hei. Hodolu Shuri El Hatus Lanayer, Dafvet Sarkle Gufa Chavis Hakar. She said that we require the person to shake it off or spill it off is because I need the Chavis. So I say, don't you have no right to schlep the stone or the money on the bed? Because you have no need for the money, you have no need for the place, you just need the bed. So leave the money behind. So if what he needs is the place, which is also a valid need for tiltal, like we saw the idea of Tzarech Makarmai. So over here he's being metaltal the stone or the money indirectly by moving the bed or moving the chavis, so that's tiltumin atzad, the tzarech tavar mutter, the tzarech tavar mutter, I'm moving this to be able to use the place. So that's mutter over there. There's no chiyuv of near because by shaking it off, you'll end up putting the stone in the place which you need for your need, but the stone's going to be in the way. Well, hitzvah lehatiyah of a near, shaking it off will not be efficient, sufficient for his needs. Move them with the muksa on them. Mishaburach of Ches, that this halacha of Hodol Shuri Ashachayach, because we're in a case where it wasn't the bosses, it was just Shachayach, so the item is not a bosses. The Mimaniach, Reachov is Gupa Nasis bosses Umuksahu. Because the case of Maniach, the cover itself becomes a buses, and that changes everything. Everything's books. Well, his rhetoric sheiloi oisam mokim pone the garmi. We're saying that he couldn't shake off the money or the evan in that place because that would take up some of the space that he needs. And he needs a place to be totally free and totally empty. Okay, so that's the end of Simon Shintes. There's one point over here I want to touch on in the Biralocha. Let's see if I can find it again. Oh, in the Biralocha, the page before, Dibur Maskil Vim Hinicho. So the Biralocha raises the question. We know there's something called the buses l'isser and l'heter, and right, the buses lever is l'isser over heter. We say that it depends on which one's a bit more valuable. So the chavis is full of wine. So why are we discussing an issue of buses that the chavis becomes a buses to the evan? If you put the evan there intentionally, if he also wants the wine to be there, and the wine is more valuable than the evan. So da the isa berishanim again the skim of harbach right the feel yesh besuch chavas yayin even though there's wine inside loyer min the nasa chavas bosses lister will have to. We don't argue that the chavas therefore is supporting two things. It's supporting the wine which is a davar is heter and supporting the eben which is a davar iser and therefore it's not going to be muksa. We say no. It becomes a boss. So what happened to the wine? But Tam, because of Tam, the Mishum the Pia Chobis, Melamala Lo Nasa Bosses Kiim Lo Evan Shemuna Cholav. The answer is that there is the wine is inside the Chobis, so the inside of the Chobis is supporting the wine. The cover of the wine is only supporting the Evan. Is not supporting the wine at all. So the top part becomes. So we look at the different parts of the kli as being separate in regards to that halacha. So, example of that would be I could have a table with a drawer, and in the drawer there might be things which are non-muksa, but on top of the table there are things which are muksa. The table could become a buses, irregardless of the fact that it has the drawer, which has non-muksa items in it. Vice versa, we're going to talk about later on.
Effectively, the cover serves the wine. It's not relevant. Does it protect the wine?
It's not irrelevant, but it's not enough to override the direct buses, which the oven is that it's being used for the oven. So. But there are the cases where we do look at the cover as being mishamish into the example which we had before was the putting the muksa gizeit semer or whatever it is to keep the pot warm, and putting it on top of the cover of the pot. We don't say the cover of the pot is a basis to the gizeit semer, because the gizeit semer are there to facilitate the warmth of the pot. So even though they're actually sitting on top of the cover of the pot, but they're there to mishamish the pot, not the pot's there to mishamish it. So you do find such a din in that, you know, such a concept over there. But over here, it's you have over here your badafka using it to function to support the oven, and it's also keeping the wine clean inside. So that over there, that wouldn't take away the bosses for the oven. The fact that it's being mishamish something else as well in a different way. Okay, Simon Shinyut. Dini Muksa B'Shabbos. I'm not sure why this is called. The name of the Simon is Dini Muksa B'Shabbos. You know, Shintes is Sultan Ayyad the Racker, officially. Shintes would probably deserve the title of Dini Muksa B'Shabbos. Dorma Sir Matalta B'Shabbos. So those are the items. Here we're going to talk about more of the, theoretically, we're going to more talk about what are the rules of muksa, but it doesn't really split up so easily like that. Aleph Eich Shetelim by Dogim Al Bishahu Mos Mutal Tatalei the Kamelim by Muksa Machmas Mias Kirushim and the Shari. So this piece is a kli. It's miyuchad for the purpose of hanging the fish in it. It gets very oily and then it becomes repulsive. But just the fact that something is Mias doesn't make it. If the person would have another use, Rav Shimon says the person might still use it. So as long as that's the reality, it's not muksa. Rav Yehuda says that a person is maksadas, and muksachas me is a person is maksadas. He prefers not to use these things. It's not graf shere, it's not the level of graf shere. He just finds it slightly bothersome type of a thing. Rav Yehuda says he's maksadas. I don't want to use things which are bothersome, etc. I find them a little bit uncomfortable to use. Rav Shimon says, no, the person is not maksadas. It's something which potentially he could get a good usage out of. He's not maksadas. So the Mishabura eats a habi kli. So why is it a kli? It's just a piece of wood. Because kimin shemiyuchad litlis dogim. So in regards to the status of a kli, it's a kli. That's not our issue. The person will find it uncomfortable to use because it has a bad smell. It's absorbing all of the smell of fish, which is decaying. However, the Yehuda Muksa Machlas Mias, Manan came along, Kirb Shim and the Shuri. But if it reached the level of being extremely uncomfortable to be with, that's Grav Shorei. That's a level beyond what we're talking about right now. Okay. Beis. Ein shum oichel ha-tolush ha-roi la-chila muksa b'Shabbos. The food is not muksa. As long as the beginning of Shabbos, it was not attached to the ground. And it's roi la-chila. So the nature of that is it's not muksa. Now, for example, the tamar mishkedim mishaperes ha'omdim l'schur mutar lechol mehem b'Shabbos. We have a muksa that a person has. He's maksadas because it's omdim l'schur. It's there for business purposes. So we say when it comes to the food, it's not a muksa. Why is it not a muksa? Because the owner, the proprietor, has it back of his mind. Yes, I'm planning to sell it, but if I'm not able to sell it, I'll use it for my own, for myself, for Shabbos. So. Or I might need it, so I'll, you know, back of my mind, I'm going to go buy food from somebody else. Obviously, if I need the food, I'll take the food from my store, my storage, my store, and I'll replace it with something after Shabbat. I'll deal with it. So, a person again, the current of Shimon, the current of Yehuda, this case would be muksa, because since it's Arim Beskara, he's sort of in Maksadaitum, he doesn't plan to use it. Comes to Shimon and says, no, person not Maksadas from something which he has the potential of use. even though the Tamorim and the Shkenim and the Shaperis, the Skara, even though he's designated them for as merchandise for business purposes, Mutalechol Mehem Shabbos, a person could eat them. Velachitim Shizroyim Bekarka. Furthermore, a person has chitim which are edible. So the person can chew on them raw and eat them. And he took them and he planted them. But Radailo Yishrish, they have not taken root yet. So Lachar over here, we could argue that this is what's called being Maksa Midaitoy. He's by putting it into the karka. I have to stand. That by putting it into the karka, he's making a decision that he doesn't want to use it anymore, he wants to plant it. So that's the equivalent of being Maksa Biyadayim and making it unusable. So Lachar, maybe even Rav Shimon Shimon in that case. So the Mor says no, and that even the case of being Maksa Biyadayim, it's only true by Gergus and Smukim, because during the process of Gergus and Smukim, at some point in time, it may become inedible. But if something which will remain edible the whole time, a person's, the fact that he went Biyadayim and was Maksa, it doesn't change it, it doesn't make a Muksa. So a person would take Chitim and plant them into the ground. If they have not taken root yet, if it takes, they're taking root already, it's called Kertzer to take it out. So he has the Nisidaraisa to take it out, now they're Muksa, because he can't get them without doing their Aveira. If they have not taken root at all, so there's no be no Aveira involved in taking them out. And they, so therefore, he in the back of his mind, he's saying, you know what, in case I need them, I'll get them, take them back out and use them.
What's the Nisidaraisa here? Are they sticking out of the ground? That there's no Chofer over here?
There'd be no covering over here, right? Otherwise, you probably can't move them, can't move the dirt to get to them, which that would be its own problem.
Walk in the ground.
Ubeyim shetachas atanagarlis. The same thing if a person takes an egg and puts it under the chicken. So in the beginning, before the chick starts to develop, it's still edible. So a person can move it because he might want to eat it still. So what's the tatalon?
What?
Okay.
Into the ground, wheat.
Mechain tamorim. Halakutim kadim bishulam. Sometimes they would pick dates before they ripen totally. Mechotzen also besalim, and they put them into baskets. So by staying in the basket, it sort of keeps them warm. And through this process of keeping them warm, they ripen. Vehemim mispashlim me'aleihem. And they become, over here, Mishpashim is the Lashon of ripen, they ripen by themselves. Mutalechom mehem kadim bishulam. She allowed to eat them before they ripen. They're edible, it is not the greatest, their best flavor until they ripen. But since they're edible, the fact that he put them there with the intent that they should sit there and ripen doesn't make them the muksa. Avol gergus et smukim, shemenichem oysan bimuksa liyabshon. By case of Gregors and Tzimukim, which they're not really Gregors and Tzimukim, that they're starting out as figs and as grapes, but you put them into to dry, and through the drying process they become a Gregors or a Tzimuk, or they become a raisin, or they become a dried fig. So you put them into the now the word books over here is this, Not a fair word to use. The muksa was the place behind the house which they used to put things which they were not intending to really to go there. So it's sort of like putting it out of their mind. So you have the chotzer which they would be mishtamish, which is the front of the house, and then behind the house, the area which was called the rechava sometimes, it was called the muksa because they put stuff there for storage. Basically, you put it there and you forget about it. It's like putting stuff in a shed, you know. You put it there and then you forget what's in the shed. So Chazal referred to that area as the muksa. It has nothing to do with the word muksa in our sugya, but so a person would put them into the muksa out in this area. They spread them out. Because people don't go there. You want them to be able to sit there in the sun and dry out, etc. So those aser b'shabbos and shum muksa, they will get a status of muksa. Why? Shem masrichus kadim she yisyabshu. In the drying process, they get to a point where they become masrich and they're not edible. So here, the combination of the fact that he was maksat biyadayim, he intentionally put it there. and the result of what he's putting in there makes it, it's not actually not usable, the combination of the two makes them mukhs. Since he knows that they're going to become inedible, so he's basically Messiah does. He doesn't expect to use them over Shabbos. Now, even though the sun came out more strongly than he expected and it dried more quickly than he expected, now he has usable tzimukim or usable gregers. They say, I'm sorry, sir, they're mukhs, so they're mukhs in the Shabbos, they remain mukhs for the rest of Shabbos, because you were Messiah das totally from any attempt to use this item. So the combination of the two, the b'yadayim v'lochozu. So more says, since you have the combination of that, I'm saying not in a different order. The item is not becomes unusable. It's inedible. It's unusable. On the one hand, and second, and furthermore, it wasn't something which happened on its own, but rather the person actively made it and put it to that state. So that's an act of being maxed. So then we say.
So
some argue that this doesn't apply to the merchandise of a non-Jew. So even though he has gergos and smukim, which begin in Shabbos, were not edible. But since you need over here two things, that should be dachib yadayim, which means knowingly aware of the fact that it becomes unusable, intentionally putting it into that state makes it muksa. But a goy, that's irrelevant by the goy because he still plans to use it. He's not being maxed anything. There's no indication of an act of haksah on the part of the goy. And in fact, the goy is doing it because he's saying, yeah, I don't plan to eat it right now, but I'm not being maseiah das, because I plan when it's ready, as soon as it's ready to go, I'm going to eat it. So now on Shabbos, I became ready to go. So I'm sorry, sir, Mr. Goy, it's too late. Ridiculous. Well, the goy doesn't have any dinner with muksa. So once that's true, it means even it's not muksa for Yisrael. The muksa depends on the owner. And the owner is the goy. So mainly for the Yisrael is going to be. Once it's edible, but it's not edible, it's a different story. It's like a rock. But once it's edible, it's going to be mutter for the Yisrael to metaltal it because it belongs to the goy. Okay. Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Beis. So ain't shum oichel. So why does the Shulchan Aruch stress oichel? Because things which are not which are inedible, which are non oichel items, is a different ballgame. The Torah shen oichel. After Rav Shimon yesh muksa the pamin. Even though Rav Shimon holds ain muksa, but the Rav Shimon is moider by certain things that yesh muksa. Kama muksa machmas chasar and kis. Kama shakosin b'simon shin ches sefalav. So we have items which are not food, which Rosh Hashanah's moedot do become muksa, but something which is an oichel, we can say unequivocally, not. It does not become muksa. Except for the case of dachim yadayim, and it becomes inedible. Tolush. So it's anything which is not attached to the ground, as opposed to be attached to the ground, it's a different ballgame. So you have So even though this thing became detached on Shabbos, and now it's usable, so you don't say, well, the guy had a mind, you know. I'm planning to use it just in case it might become detached on Shabbos. So not Maksadas, because maybe, right? So there we say, no, that since the beginning of Shabbos, it was totally inaccessible. It was impossible to get it because of the varishes of mouth. So then a person is Messiah Das, and maybe even later on in Shabbos, it becomes usable. It won't help. I mean, you know, it becomes detached. It doesn't change anything. So we gave an example, something which is oimid for schara. Even though according to Shimon, even in the scenario where the person designated them for merchandise for his business, Daito Aleim Lechol Mehem Kishirtz, the person, according to Shimon, that we said the person has the back of his mind intent that if he needs it, he'll take it. And, you know, if you, you know, whereas Yehuda says you designated it for business purposes, you're not going to touch it. Shimon says you might. That's good enough for the dinner. That's not muksel.
What about non ochel schor?
Also, if it's something which is not intrinsically a muksel issue. A person one time asked me this, Shaila. He sold talesim, sits his talesim, yarmulkes, etc., in his basement, whatever. And he realized on Shabbos that he didn't have a talis. So he wondered if he was allowed to take a talis from his schara and put it on and use it on Shabbos. So he's designated for business purposes, but I said, it's mutter, that's his din. Further Shimon, that's not muksa. Again, the reason why you chapped an oichel is just because there might be other reasons why oichel is problematic, but not this. Mm-hmm. Furthermore, I feel a chitin shizroin, even a chitin which a person planted, or the bay in which you put the tanagolas on top of them. We have clearly an intent of making it muksa, making it. I'm not going to use it. Not that I make it unusable. That's the case that I don't agree with. I'm going to make it that I don't want to use it. I don't plan to use it. So that's Yehuda's argument. But Rav Shimon says back, we call Malkum, Kima the Chaz and the Lachton, Malecho, Lahabi Muksa. So even since we're talking about the Chitim, you can retrieve them. It means by Lachton, you can pick them, it means you can retrieve them back. So, you're not Messiah Das totally, Lahabi Muksa. So the only case which is muksa is something which is not usable, because otherwise why should it be muksa? And you actively put it into that state. So then you say, oh, that's making a decision, you're being matzah by yadayim, and it's gone. But something which became unusable on its own, it might become usable again. Or something which he made a decision to set aside for scar purposes, he might change his mind, etc. So that's a different ballgame. The only case where it is muksa is you have a combination of Nachabi and Diamond, and it's not Roy. So he put the chitim as Ramakarka. So over here, like Yosef was saying, it has to be that they were accessible, because you can't move the dirt to get to them. So the case must be that they were sitting on the surface, they had not absorbed down into the ground. So then you'd be moving dirt to get to it. I just thought of something that I wanted to share with you as I was talking, and our knowledge went in and went out. Give me 1 second. Oh, so later on in Shinyan Aleph, he deals with the case where, interesting din, the person picked lefosos, he picked turnips. So the best place to store turnips is in the ground.
Lefosos?
Yeah. So the person would pick them and then store them in the ground. So he's basically putting them back into the ground. But they're not. There's not a problem of kaitzer because they've been detached already. They're not growing. If they start growing again, then it's a problem with kaitzer. But they don't start growing again. It's not considered a problem with kaitzer. Take it out. But there it says that you can't move the dirt. The case has to be if he left the leaves above ground in such a way they could pull the leaves and pull out the plants, then he can get the plant. But he can't do that. He has to move the dirt to get the plant out, so he can't take out the plant. That's what he's sending us to look at over there in Shinyan Aleph. If it hasn't taken root yet, if it's taken root already, you have a problem with the malchul kotzer. You're taking something away from its life source, its sustenance. That's a different.
What if they're taking root in shvishu?
Right. So their eggs, basically their eggs, all of them were fertilized eggs. So they ate them even though they were fertilized. But they sit for a little bit, they start developing a chick, then they're muksa. But the beginning, just putting it under the tzaddik garlands right before Shabbos, it's not muksa.
Putting what under the
putting the egg under the putting eggs. The egg under the chicken to have the chicken sit in the egg and warm the egg and then let it develop into a chick. But if the process of developing the chick didn't start yet, it takes a little bit of time before that starts. So that period of time, to Karl be here, that'd be muksa, because he's Messiah Dasim, he's Karl Shimon. No, why should I be Messiah Dasim? I might want to eat eggs. It might change my mind. I want to eat eggs. So it's not moksa according to Rishim, that's what we pass in. Now, however, by the case of the Gergus and Tzimukim, which you put them in the moksa, I'm sorry, no, I skipped the case. Tamar Mishal, which were picked before Bishulam, and you put them into these baskets, so the Mishal Burah, even though he took them in before they're fully ripened, so if nobody's eating like that, that's an absolute muksa issue. So no. People do. Some people do eat it. But the other types of fruits, the olives and the grapes. Not the grapes, the gurgers, the figs and the grapes. Once they start the process of drying out, they become totally inedible. They become inedible until the drying process is completed. And there, even Rav Shimon is moida, he's Messiah Das totally from it. He's a Gemara, the Dafka Gergos and Smukim, or Shari Perish, Helen Lagag, the Yapshin, Ain Behemishim Muksa, the Hemchaz and Lachila, Avkarim Shigis Yapshin. But all of the dry fruits do not go through this stage of being inedible. So the fact that he was maxed up, he put up onto the roof, according to Shimon, is irrelevant, because he said, I'm not Messiah Dasim, I want to eat them. So why should Messiah Dasim, something which is potentially reusable? But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that case would be muksa. According to Shimon, that's not muksa. The only case is when it becomes unusable for a period of time.
So is it clear that it was unusable at the beginning of Shabbos, or even if it was still edible at the beginning of Shabbos, knowing that it was going to become inedible?
So if it was edible at the beginning of Shabbos, so when it becomes inedible, it becomes muksa. When it becomes edible again later on, it becomes non-muksa.
Uh-huh.
The, or that din of Migo Diskatsoi doesn't play out in a case where at the beginning of Shabbos really it was still usable. Seemingly it's not going to be dying, but if it did not become unusable, the scenario here was he was not going to be dying, and it became unusable.
Right, so in the case then of this partially ripe dates, when I put them into the cell, is that called the ichui? Because if not, I only have one condition there.
He's
saying in those cases it's not muksa.
Into what? Into the sal?
The case of the date.
But only because they're edible. But if they weren't edible, then it would not be muksa. And there's only one condition. Unless we say put it into the sal constitutes dichui, which wasn't obvious. That
well, if they become inedible, that would be an act of dichui. I'm putting it into a state of making them inedible. That's a dichui. The dichui is the decision to put them into the state of I'm actively putting them into the state. It's supposed to pass it.
So by collecting them while they're not edible...
Well, if they were edible.
No, the dates. I'm saying the dates full of the tree, right?
Right. So they're edible. You're saying if they
weren't, though.
If they weren't, no. I mean, taking them off of the tree then would that be called the ichui? No, I don't think so.
But he said that was bimuksa though.
The case of Tamorim, which your machnas. Bisalim, since some people still eat it like that. Right. You're saying if nobody eat it like that, well, that's because you put it into the cell.
So the cell is dichui? I thought the cell is the opposite of dichui. I'm collecting it because.
No, the cell here was to put. That's what helps them ripen. The purpose of the cell was to create like a basket which had a cover and that would keep them warm and they would ripen through that process. If that process would make them not usable, that's the same thing as where it goes to smoke it.
Uh-huh.
It's not the basket of gathering.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we understand where we're having our disconnect. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So he put it out in the muksa. So Rechava Shachrei Batim Kri Muksa. So the Spirit also helps us with this, that the back space behind the house was known as the muksa. Fine. The option asked that in the so maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you're wrong about what?
So the question is, so why am I wrong? He's saying that even before they become unusable, they're going to become muksa. Okay. Why is that? Okay, so I see the Moshe Dusha brings a Chazanish. She says that the why isn't that the same thing that in the case of the Zeroyim, I put into the karka that it's an act to be a Dayim, and once they take root, they're not going to be usable, so they should become inedible, they should become muksa right away. We don't say that, we say, till they take root. So what's the difference in the cases? So he quotes over here the Chazanish. So I'll have to trust him that they're quoting the Chazanish correctly. The Chazanish argues that over here, the issue is achila. So, kol's not using for achila. I don't want to see a das on the achila purpose. So even in the case of the Zeroyim, I say, you know what? I might need them to eat, so I'm not going to see a das. That's Rosh Shimon's argument. But over here, when if I let them sit, they're going to actually be better to eat. So it's eating versus eating. When I put them there to be misyabish and to dry out, then they'll be better to eat than before eating them now before they dry out. So even though right now they're still usable, since it's going to become unusable, and I want that to happen because it's better for me to have them afterwards, I will dafka will not take them once that state is. Therefore, that's called making them a full dicha biyadayim even before they become inedible. That's how the Chazish explains that. Okay, good point. Havi muksa yud aleph. So that's muksa. How do I feel? But tiltul asurim the harehem kavanim offer. So once they're muksa, they're unusable. So it's a food which is not edible, it's not a kli. So it's nothing. So it's like etzim and abanim. So you can't move it. But some say it doesn't apply to a goy. Then a chana. What's the learner? Davar shehu also be Yisrael mishum these kitzur ben hashmashes. Uhuzmi b'adayim. So. That there's a requirement of hachana. So we discussed this a little bit way back when. That Chazal were sabik all the dinim hamuksa on the pasuk of in Parshas Bishalach v'hichinu shishar yaviu. You should prepare that which you're going to use for Shabbos. So preparation doesn't necessarily mean preparing food is the process of processing the food, but it means the decision to designate for use for Shabbos. That's hachana. So. And Shimon's point is that you really have it constantly. A person always has in mind, I want to use things for chila. That's called his mechanet. He made it mucha. What we're saying, but these cases are lacking in hachana, means the person made a decision not to use them, so they're not designated for Shabbos usage. So then you can't use them for Shabbos. And then become muksa for chila, and then muksa for tiltum. When is that defined? It says, that has to happen before Shabbos. Which means that Rabbi Yehuda says, Apostolic Rabbi Yehuda on this point, that the decision of making them ready to use for Shabbos has to be decided on Erev Shabbos. Beginning of Shabbos, they're not ready to use, they're not able to be used, they remain muksa the rest of Shabbos. You can't create that achana during Shabbos. So it comes along, the Ramah says that halacha is by Yisrael. He's not maksa das. So since it's mukhan for him, it's mukhan for everybody. Now, whatever also be when the shoshes mishum mechuber mishum shoyi mechusit zeda, shoshes in Yehudi it's sort of a Shabbos. After whatever who shoshes in Yehudi kliyama osur v'chein isenoyled gam kein hachi. It's something which the problem is not that the goy's decision what to do with it, which is what we're saying over here. So the whole root of the problem is he's mesiach das. So he's not mesiach das. He plans to use it. The words don't make any sense. He's not mesiach das. But if the problem is there's an isser of zeda, or there's an isser of talush. Even though the goy owns it, and the goy is allowed to be tailish, and the goy is allowed to be tzadit, right? But that's it. But the maisa, that's be'etzim, not usable for Yisrael right now. Over here, it's batsim usable. The problem is there's a decision. The goy has no need to make any decisions. But over here, when it's batsim a problem, the fact that it's owned by the goy doesn't take away the din of muksa in that scenario. Let's hold it here. I can finish anyway. I'm not rushed to it.